Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good to see the coach was in midseason form.
He was great. So was Steve Burton.
Yeah.
Love those interviews. Love them.
I mean, they were getting their asses kicked at the half.
That was the most entertaining point of the whole night.
They finally managed to, you know, pull 3 points out of their rear ends, and that was great.
What a drive.
Good situational football. What? Steve, I love you, but God, that sucked.
I love the back and forth between those guys. They've had some memorable moments over the years.
By the way, in the aftermath of coming from behind and winning post-game, Belichick sounded just like he did at halftime.
Yeah, as he would. That was ugly. That was ugly, ugly football. It is. It's preseason football. You're happy that it's there just because you haven't had football in such a long time, but it's preseason football. No Brady, no Gronk, no McCourty, no Sony Michel, no Isaiah Wynn. Just a lot of Brian Hoyer and Danny Etling, so what do you really expect? But it was ugly there for a while.
You know what it was? I thought of this last night, and by the way, I'm not trying to take myself out of responsibility here. This is just like me just before the first Bruins preseason game, and you get all cranked up.
Here we go! Hockey!
Here we go! And then about 15 minutes into the first preseason game, you go, oh, this isn't really...
Like, what this is isn't, this?
This isn't a real game.
Oh, yeah.
And we do this. Tough. We do this in the NFL as well. At one point today, I think Matt Chatham pointed this out, like 17 of the top trending topics in the United States all were related to the NFL. And preseason games in which nobody who mattered was playing.
No,
and
it was gross.
But, you know, it's the NFL. We love it. We can't wait to have it back. There is nobody listening to the sound of my voice who can tell me they watched and enjoyed all four quarters of that mess last night.
Could not have enjoyed it. It's just impossible. And if you hung with it for the whole game, great. You're a big-time football fan. That's fine. I watched it all. I mean, I was sort of, the Red Sox on as well, so you're flipping back and forth. But, man, when it's Hoyer versus McCoy, like right away, you kind of know what you're getting yourself in for. And it was kind of, bad tackling. You could tell why Belichick was frustrated. They couldn't move the ball at all in the first half. Even against some of the twos, some of the Redskins' twos, Brian Hoyer can't do anything with the football. And you're like, okay. So now you have to sort of pick out individual players.
Well,
like,
right,
I'm going to find somebody to sort of look at. Oh, Jeremy Hill or Ralph Webb is now everybody's favorite player. Hey, look at Ralph run.
Look at
him go.
I'll be shocked if you see him on this roster,
Ralph,
at the start of the season.
Well, maybe not. I mean, although I don't know if Mike Gillislee is going to make the team.
Well, the fact that he was playing in the fourth quarter last night
not,
is probably not good
great.
Evidence.
So,
on his
I mean,
behalf.
Maybe Webb has a chance over Gillislee. I don't know. I think the Sony Michel injury will play a factor in that. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of what you're dealing with there. You also look at just, I mean, Brian Hoyer stinks, Dale. Can you give me that at least? Can you give me that?
I didn't suggest that
he stinks. Yeah. Stinks.
Did I at any point say that he was?
Yes. When they traded Garoppolo, you said it was part of the deal.
Absolutely was part of it.
Well, I'm just saying
because
why?
Because they have to have a backup.
Well, I know,
and
but
it's
you
a lot
have
easier,
anybody who's
it's
breathing.
A lot easier to have a backup who at least knows the system, knows the plays.
But to my point is he can know every play back to front.
Oh, I understand.
Stinks.
Look, if he's your quarterback, you're in trouble.
You're
I know
in a
that.
Lot. Okay, you're in a lot of trouble.
Of course,
trouble.
I mean, nobody's going to suggest otherwise, but it also makes life easier from Belichick's and McDaniel's perspective. That, you know, if we've traded away not one, but both of our backup quarterbacks,
both backups,
at least we got somebody in there who could make a call in the huddle.
You think Danny Etling is going to be, it's just one game.
Yeah, I promised myself last night as I was watching, I am not going to overreact.
Good.
I am not going to think about how bad the defense looked, considering the last time we saw the defense play, they looked really bad.
I love Kyle Van Noy telling Karen Grigian last week, people around the
overlooking
league,
this,
they're
you know.
Sleeping on us linebackers. Yeah, I'm fast asleep. The linebackers are slow. Holy mackerel. Kyle Van Noy is not making plays on running backs. Jordan Richards, he put in a full effort. That's classic Jordan Richards right there last night. Regular season game, playoff game, preseason game. That's who Jordan Richards is.
Stephen Gilmore started the season like he did last year.
He also was not very good.
Not good at all.
I was surprised. I was like, oh, they got the starting corners out there. That was one of my surprises was, you know, Julian Edelman.
I was surprised Edelman played.
Yeah, me too. I didn't want him to. But they also, I wonder if this was part of the script too. He wasn't even targeted. So it might have been just kind of get out there and try to get in shape again. Like get in football shape and just run some plays. But they didn't even throw him the ball once. Chris Hogan didn't look very good. Yeah, the whole thing was pretty bad. And yeah, they score a bunch of points in the second half, but it doesn't matter. And it's hard to tell, you know, was Ralph Webb, can he do that against starters in the NFL? My guess would be no. But one down, three to go, and then he can get to real football.
I just can't. I tried. I tried to get all cranked up.
Yeah.
I had the DVR set because my wife and I went out to dinner. I left
Ooh,
here.
Ooh, date night.
Yeah, date night for us.
I like that.
We went out to dinner. I intentionally did not listen to the football game on the radio driving home. Didn't want to know.
Is that a shot at the commentators?
Not at all. No, I didn't want to know anything.
Okay.
Wanted to start the game fresh on my DVR.
Yes, yes, yes.
Listen to baseball all the way home.
Yes.
Got home, started the DVR, and went, oh, God.
You go, this is what
And at halftime, you're like forcing yourself to continue to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're sticking around for the Belichick interview. You got to see.
Oh, no. I got
through
that.
Have to see that. And then from there, I think what you want to see is, all right, like what veterans are still playing in the fourth quarter? And, you know, are those guys going to be around very long? And so there's some things to look at. But for the most part, it's pretty bad. And then I keep going back to that's what the XFL and that's what the other league are going to be like, but worse.
Because they're much worse.
Worse.
You won't know anybody.
Not know anybody, but those guys, that Alliance League, has already signed a bunch of players, meaning they're not even in a camp. They're not even in a 90-man roster right now. So it's going to be worse than these guys. 90.
They're not even going to get cut from a team.
The other big thing that jumped out to me was Jason McCourty did not play.
And I was actually surprised at that.
I was surprised, too. And so he's a guy, every year you go through the surprise cuts. He's on my list. I think he's going to be cut. But
I don't know if he's going to be cut, but I think he's on the bubble.
I think he definitely is. And this is, when he didn't play, my first thought was, well, that must be a good sign for him.
Right. That's how I read it, yeah.
However, Mike Reese, who does his write-up after the game, he has, you know, six things that jumped out to him or whatever, and he's talking about Jason McCourty. And he goes, perhaps the Patriots wanted to get a deeper evaluation on younger corners like J.C. Jackson and a couple other guys.
By the way, he's the hot commodity.
Everybody likes J.C. Jackson.
And he's going to be the undrafted free agent
he's
who
Malcolm
makes
Butler.
This team.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I agree.
He's the new Malcolm
right.
Butler.
And he might cost McCourty a job. But so according to Mike Reese, who knows a lot more than I do, he says, but McCourty's lack of action highlights to me how his spot on the team is not secure as a backup corner. And then he goes to say how both Gilmore and Rowe started the game, and they both played 14 snaps. So you had most of your secondary playing. Devin McCourty also
didn't
play.
Make me feel better about the defense, I'm going to say.
No, definitely not. But that's just another guy to keep an eye on, because when he got brought in, everyone said, hey, great, yeah, why not? You know, not only is he, you know, the brother of Devin McCourty and another Rutgers guy, but he's had a pretty good career, and maybe he can help you out, but...
Don't you feel like
so
Jason
sure.
McCourty could be one of those guys who gets cut but don't go anywhere, stay with Devin?
Maybe.
You know,
is around just in case.
One of those back and forth and back and forth guys.
Yeah, it could be. If he wants to do that. I mean, he's had a pretty long career, too. I mean, when you consider how long most guys played in the NFL. So maybe that's just it for him. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. But that was another thing. It's both guys who did and did not play. Because, again, the score doesn't matter. Some of the other things, a lot of things that don't really matter in the game. But... it's just stuff that you could try to take away from it.
Then the big storyline post-game.
Uh-oh.
Thanks to Jim McBride of the Boston Globe.
Who is great with injury stuff, by the way.
That's why
incredible.
When I read it from him, I went, ooh, this makes me nervous.
He's usually right.
Because he usually nails these things long before anybody else. He was the first guy I saw say, Brady's workload has been reduced because he's got soreness in his back.
Bad
now,
back.
Now, it doesn't look... I mean, they kept showing Brady on the sidelines, obviously. I mean, smiling, laughing,
yeah, he was
joking.
Warming up before the game.
He was warming up
full
before
equipment.
The game.
Yeah.
I don't think this is anything serious. It may be one of those things that 41-year-old players go through in the NFL.
I was going to say, every 41-year-old man in the world right now probably has a sore
yes.
back. You know what I mean? But I thought we were led to believe Brady was different. I thought Brady, with the TB12 method...
Bands that make you dance?
Bands of... Oh, that's Gronk's words.
I know.
But I thought, you know, with his pliability and what he's doing and him being, you know, the best that he can be, and again, the whole method would lead you to believe that he wouldn't be a guy with a sore back. And so here he is, and I don't know if he would have played the game anyway. The way Jim McBride tweeted it out was it was because. It's not he didn't play and he has a sore back. It was he didn't play because. So it sounded like he wanted to give it a go.
Now, he practiced some the day before the game, Wednesday, and they were talking about some long bomb that he threw.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to hit Philip Dorsett, and it was incomplete. But they
sounds
said,
about
you
right.
Know, yeah, I know. You know, and my thought was, okay, how bad does it hurt if he's if they're letting him do that? I don't think this is anything major. Now, Belichick talked about it today. Mike Giardi, do we know yet?
I mean, a national. I think it's a national thing, right? Isn't that what somebody guessed?
Somebody guessed NFL Network.
That's a good guess, I would think. I think
he'd be a good-looking, handsome man.
He sure is.
So, and anyway, he asked Belichick,
or maybe
the
San Francisco Chronicle.
It's on Jimmy beat. He's the Brian
Windhorst. He's the Windhorst. He can be the
Brian Windhorst, the Jimmy Garoppolo's beat.
Much better shape Windhorst.
But he asked Belichick about, you know, how you handle the workload here. And Belichick acknowledged that playing as late as they do certainly does have an effect on how you practice. I know people say, oh, for God's sakes, the game was February 4th. They've played a lot of football the last couple of years.
No, they have. But they also, you know, guys like Gilmore and Rowe, they played in the Super Bowl. They played a ton of games, and they were still playing in preseason game one. They had
a little younger than the 41-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, I would say so. But again, I think we go back to he is supposed to be a little bit different. Like that's the thing about him. Like he was the MVP at 40, and so now here he is at 41. He skips the optional stuff, so maybe he's working out a little bit different than he normally has going into the year. And I know he's out there and he's practicing, so I'm with you. I don't think you need to freak out about it yet. He's still there. He's still with the team. I wouldn't expect him to miss games, but
he's in uniform. He's warming up. I'm watching him on the sidelines. He's laughing with Edelman.
Do you think that the incentives that we heard about yesterday, the $5 million in incentives, have anything to do with a sore back? Only to say, rather than just giving you $5 million extra, why don't we make sure you play? Because we already know right now you're dealing with a back.
I said it yesterday. I feel it stronger today. What the Patriots did for Brady is an insult. It's an insult.
After all these years?
Yes. One of the most durable quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Now, Rob Gronkowski, you sort of understand. He's had a lot of physical issues. You know, he's had surgeries. So, you know, we got to make sure, Rob, that you're healthy. If you're healthy, you're going to make all this money. You can't be doing that to Brady.
It is a little silly.
It's an insult.
It is. But he agreed to it, and he's getting the money.
Nothing's happened yet.
But we always talk with him. If he wanted to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, he could be.
Yes.
What if he said
and should be?
Especially after last night, show him the table Hoyer again and be like, I want to be paid more. And they're like, no, we're going to play hardball here. He goes, okay, good luck with Hoyer. I'll see you guys later. So he's not doing that. So he has these incentives, but we don't even know what the incentives are yet. What if it's just play 14 games? Like, it could be something as simple as that. I don't even know what it is.
The problem is then that money gets added to the salary cap.
So, I mean, either way, I'm with you. It seems a little odd that they would make Brady do that. And I don't know with the timing of it, was the team already aware of the back problems? And they just said, we might want to cover ourselves here before we just give him more money.
If that was the case and I was Brady, I'd say forget it.
Then say no.
I'm done.
You don't trust me enough.
I mean, for all the things I've gone through here, all the things I've played through, you're going to wonder about, you know, I got a little back stiffness, and you're going to say, well, I don't know, Tom, we got to check. I'd say,
you know what,
we'll just play.
And that's the thing. And my bigger concern as a Patriots fan was they tweak his contract, but they didn't add any more years. So it's still just this year and next year, and then that's it.
I know how stupid this sounds in the real world.
Say it anyway.
$5 million is a lot of money.
It is.
$5 million as a tweak to Tom Brady's contract is also an insult. So what did we get him up to? 10th or 11th in the NFL among quarterbacks?
Yeah, he makes as much as Blake Bortles now. Now he's tied with Bortles. He's already under. Now he's tied.
I mean, if you were going to tweak his contract, give him $10
million. Right.
And by the way, and don't make him jump through hoops to get it.
No.
Give him $10 million. Say, you know what, Tom?
Just for being him.
We're gonna add to your contract. Here it is. This is what we're going to do. The more I've thought about it, the more I think, man,
I
don't like how this looks.
Do you think he has shares in the team or something?
Not allowed.
Well, okay. But do you think? Let me ask you again, Dale. You're not on the stand here.
Do I think there's some nudge, wink,
wink? There's something going on. How else can he just be going along with this for so long?
He should be the
highest paid quarterback in the league for the last 12 years, probably.
Now, Lou brought up a great point. And I was kind of zipping through the early stuff on the DVR because I wanted to get to the football stuff.
Yeah.
But Lou was right. It was kind of ironic, wasn't it, that one of the opening shots was a full screen, you know, front of the store view of TB12.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
it's
that
like,
was part
let's
of it.
Let's do a commercial, shall we?
That may have been part of it. I'm telling you, there's something going on there. And I think it's fine. I mean, I don't know exactly what all the different, you know, I know he can't be a part owner of the team and all that nonsense, but I'm just saying there's got to be something going on with the facility right there. They got a free, quote, free commercial for it. Maybe that was also part of the incentive package. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a story all year long.
He certainly looks happy. I mean, he certainly looked happy. I mean,
yeah.
They're getting their asses kicked, and he's laughing with Edelman.
Well,
Edelman got mad, I guess. He had one target and was incomplete. They didn't show it, but supposedly went to the sidelines and he slammed his helmet down. He hates Hoyer, too.
Yeah,
it's just clear. He doesn't want to play with Brian Hoyer.
He's not great. He's not a great quarterback. I'm sure he's a nice backup. You hope you never, ever, ever see him. But yeah,
Which is, by the way, the case for all backups.
No, that's true. I still don't know why you want to play Edelman in the game. Now,
I was very surprised. I did not think you'd see him. I thought, you know what? You can't play the first four games anyway.
Right.
Let's really ease you back into this. We'll play you some in the preseason, but we're not going to start using you in game one.
Yeah, and, you know, he's playing with Hoyer, too. I'm like, I don't need to see this. And, again, maybe they just wanted to get him, you know, some live snaps, get the uniform on, get out there, run around
a little, break a sweat. I don't know, maybe.
Right. It's not like they were running reverses to him or doing anything crazy. He's not returning punts or kicks or anything like that. Who do you like better, McCarron or Berrios? Do you have a favorite yet on those guys back there returning punts?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, they're fine.
It's wonderful.
No, they don't really jump out at you.
There was somebody on Twitter who said that, you know, there's this exchange between a football writer and his kid, and the kid saying, "Oh, why are they playing football?" "Well, it's preseason football. It's really practice more than anything else." And the kid says, "Why are there people there?"
There's a lot of people there.
And all of a sudden, the father went, "That's actually a good question.
Because it's part of the season ticket package program.
We don't have a logo on the field. We don't have anything
in the end
zones.
No logo is terrible.
It is a glorified practice, which, don't get me wrong, they will use to help make assessments of people. But I think they use practice as much as they use the
preseason. Yeah, and Belichick was asked that. I think he's asked that every single year. But he was asked that again last night after the game. And he says, yeah, they look at everything. Like, of course they do. And that's why I go back to, if he was being honest, I think Belichick would say he's upset they're not doing joint practices, because that was another part of it. So now you have practices by yourself, you have joint practices, and you have the preseason games. So suddenly that's a lot to evaluate who you have, to narrow it down to 53, and then go from there. Whereas now you're removing one of those aspects that he's been doing for years in a row now. So I bet he's a little upset with that.
Bill, do you tend to get more out of evaluations from the games or the practices? Are the games kind of a test after the preparation?
Everything, yeah. We evaluate everything, so it all counts.
It all counts, including joint practices. I'm telling you, I bet he's upset that the Eagles said no, or they couldn't find a way to schedule it with somebody else. Because now you have these four games, and you hope that they're better than last night. I don't know how much he got out of last night's game. Just not the best. Hopefully the practices are going a whole lot better than that.
Well, that's what we were talking about, you know, how low-key, you know, chill Belichick, and,
yeah,
you know, how much softer and gentler he's been. I have a feeling that might change the next practice after last night.
Now that you have tape of guys getting embarrassed, like, it's hard to be chill Belichick when Kyle Van Noy's getting torched for a touchdown, or Jordan Richards is blowing a tackle against a guy that's not going to make the team. Like, all of those plays, that's going to change Belichick's demeanor, I would think, pretty quickly.
It might change his demeanor
really quick. Yeah, absolutely. There's not a lot to get excited about from last night.
Well, part of the telecast last night, a new part of the telecast,
yes,
was sideline reporter Rob Ninkovich, who looked very comfortable, by the way.
He did. It was hot down there on the field.
Well, of course it is.
He dresses well. I think we've noticed that when he's been in here.
They talked a lot about his pants and stuff.
They did.
What do you think, Nick?
Nink? What do you got,
Nink? Hold on, Devin's looking at me. We're talking back and forth.
Oh, God.
Sign language. Sorry.
Hey, there's a line. You're either with them or with us.
I'm sorry. He made fun of my pants. He said they're a little too tight. I don't think they are. I think it'll stretch them.
I was going to ask you that, too, because I see you got something in your pockets, or maybe you don't.
I mean, it's my wallet. It's pretty thick.
It's your keys.
That's my keys, yeah.
Another one ripping off keys.
Nick's keys? That's not a thing. Come on.
So Rob Ninkovich was part of the telecast, will be through the preseason.
Yes.
He will be a Patriots Monday regular with us. He'll be down at Gillette Stadium with us every Monday.
Good.
Between 10 and 12. We've had him in here on a couple of occasions. Love talking to him. He's going to join us at about 3:30 today. So we'll kind of talk about, you know, what he saw last night and what kind of import there is to it. How much do you put into it? How much do you take out of it? I refuse to take a whole lot out of it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as you want your starters to never get hurt. And so the easiest way to do that is to not play. So I usually say you don't want your top guys to play, but then the ones that do, you hope they're able to make it out of there. And then you're looking for a couple of guys to maybe, you know, turn some heads. And, you know, Ralph Webb had some good runs. You're looking for J.C. Jackson. You're looking for the offensive line. That's kind of what you go into with preseason. That's about it. But it's football. It's back, so you'll at least take it.
I was given the opportunity, thanks to the fact that it was boring, to check in on a bit more of the Red Sox game, perhaps, than I planned.
What do you think of Rick Porcello?
You know what? He's had a tough year against Toronto all year.
That's true. He won't face them in the playoffs. That's a good sign.
We're good there. No, he's actually had a very good year, except against Toronto. Everybody has that team.
Yeah.
For him, it's Toronto for whatever
reason. I don't know
if
he's had a very good year.
He's had a really good year. He was 12-4 going into last night.
He's got a 4.17 ERA. I don't think that's a very good year. I think he pitched really well against the Yankees last time out. That was great to see. The game lasted 2 hours. That was awesome. But he's been fine. I mean, his record's good because everybody on the Red Sox record is good. They score a million runs. The team is awesome. But I don't think he's been great.
I love how cynical we've become. Not you and me. Well, us too. Yeah, how cynical we've become around here where now, come on, what cycle? So what? They lost. Really? They lose once a week.
They don't lose often.
They lose once a week. If Mookie Betts gets a cycle.
I like a good cycle.
It's a cool thing.
Nothing like a good cycle.
It's much harder to do than get a no-hitter.
Oh, is that true?
Oh,
is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Many fewer cycles than no-hitters. I mean, good for him. I thought it was cool. I wanted to see it.
I'll take a cycle. What's wrong with a cycle?
Now, at the same time,
hit the home run last. That's exciting.
Well, as I tweeted out last night, though, I mean, if you're Ken Giles, why the hell are you giving him anything to hit?
Ken Giles has had a tough year.
Ken
Giles sucks.
I liked that he did.
Yeah, no, that we appreciate that. Give him a chance. And if you're Mookie Betts, you're up there just hacking too.
There's a drive to left field, high and deep, and Mookie Betts is hit for the cycle. He hits it into the Toronto bullpen. It is 8-5.
Pretty good.
It was good. And he was excited, you know.
It was good.
Pointing into the dugout.
And
hey,
they had some life, and then they went away. That was over.
Like I said, they lose about once a week.
I know.
And, oh, by the way, they're going to Baltimore.
They fell to 81-35.
Oh, no.
I know. They had a nice winning streak going. That snapped.
Six-game winning streak.
Thanks a lot, Porcello.
Down the drain.
Yeah, but Porcello was... That was just a rough outing for him.
A bad outing for him.
But so then you say, I bet, I mean, the answer is probably somewhere in between, but you see the Yankee start, and then you see that Blue Jay start, and you're like, what's the real Rick Porcello?
The Yankee start, he was dazzling.
He was insane. He's not going to be that good, I don't think, ever again.
So an hour from now, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Rob Ninkovich. I was listening this morning. I did hear Kirk Minahan on this morning. We'll address that at the top of the hour. We'll talk about what Kirk did on the air here today. He tweeted it out yesterday. We said yesterday we wouldn't comment on it until he had a chance to speak on the air, and he did this morning. We'll talk about that at the top of the hour. We'll get to the calls with you coming up next. We've got the golf on the TVs above our shoulders, so it pops into my head as I think about this. Before the U.S. Open, Rory McIlroy was interviewed a couple of days before the tournament earlier this week. And he's had a really good year. Like, he's been a consistent top 10 finisher all year. But, you know, no majors.
Right.
And somebody said to him, would you rather have a year like this where you're consistently a top 10 player, but you don't win a major? Or would you rather win a major and miss like 12 cuts during the course of the year? And he said, I'd rather have this year. I'd rather be a consistently good player.
You probably make more
player.
Money that way,
well,
too.
Well, you guarantee
right?
you make more money.
All those top tens.
And he said, I'd rather be the consistent player. And you hear this every once in a while.
I'd probably take the majors.
Well, this has always come up with, would you rather win a title or be a Hall of Fame player? You know, like...
Would you rather be Robert Horry or Charles Barkley?
Exactly.
Barkley.
And
I would be. I'd much rather be Barkley or like Dan
Barkley's Marino. Barkley's a Hall of Famer,
right.
But he's got no rings.
Hall of Famer, MVP... One of the best players
or
to ever win a
bad
title.
Example because, you know, he was or really a hanger-on no, type
but, but he had big shots.
I know.
And he won
I know
a lot
the
of
big
titles.
Shot Bob thing.
Big
I
shot
know.
Bob. But he's also won a million titles, too. So I don't know if you're talking about somebody who is a fringe starter or somebody like B.J. Armstrong. Like, would you rather be him or would you rather be, you know, John Stockton.
So I thought of it last night with the whole Mookie Betts thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got this individual achievement. He hits for the cycle. Doesn't happen very often. I mean, the last Red Sox player to hit for the cycle was Brock Holt. And think about that for a minute.
Was that during his All-Star season? It must have been.
I think it was.
Was it John Valentin before that? I feel like Valentin used to always be the trivia.
There was a big gap in there.
Okay.
And you know, they lose. Okay, so what? What, as you said, they've lost, what, 36 times this year?
Yeah, 35 maybe?
35 times.
Won a lot of games.
And you know, he got this individual achievement. I had no issues with him celebrating it. None at all.
Well, and because they still had a chance to win the game. I mean, they were down four. He smacks a dinger. He hits for the cycle. They're still up. They still have a chance. I mean, they don't score anything else, but they had a chance. The worst part, really, for J.D. Martinez was seeing Betts go 4-for-4. He went 1-for-4, so he was down 8 points for the batting title / Triple Crown. Now he's 16 points behind Betts, so he's not doing him any favors there.
Well, we said, you know, all Mookie has to do is cool off a little bit. That might not happen.
Huh?
That might not. So, I no issues at all. Good for him. Yeah, celebrate.
Whatever.
Be happy. His teammates
were thrilled. That's good.
I saw Alex Cora's comments after the game. You know, everybody in the dugout was obviously thrilled for the guy. And they lost. So what?
Yeah.
Some guy on Twitter was talking to me about, you know, yeah, well, they lost. I'll get over it.
They did lose. They absolutely lost.
Like I said, they
the
lose
game.
Once a week.
They do, at best. And so something tells me they win tonight. I have a feeling about it, Dale. I feel like they bounce back tonight.
That pesky Baltimore
Orioles
team.
Doesn't worry you any.
Now,
they might win all four of them. That's just the way things have been going.
And I'll also say this, because I've gone back and forth on this one. This is an adjusted opinion on my part.
Adjusted opinion?
An adjusted opinion.
Oh, okay.
And this is not based just on the fact that Mookie went 4-for-4 with a cycle and JD went 1-for-4.
Adjusted opinion feels like a flip-flop, but I'll hear
it
out.
See, I prefer adjusted opinion.
I'll hear this out. Okay.
I think Mookie's going to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Now, I had been saying JD Martinez. I think Mookie's going to be the MVP of the American League. I think he's going to beat Mike Trout for that, too.
So my vote right now would be for J.D. Martinez. Spoiler alert, I don't get a vote. So it does not really matter. But I have a microphone, and I can tell you how I feel. And I would vote for J.D. Martinez right now. He leads the majors in home runs, leads the majors in RBI. He's second in the majors in batting average. And he has been a major difference to the Red Sox.
Huge.
But I think you probably have a pretty good case, because Mookie Betts combines the war stat that everybody loves. People love war. So he's just below Mike Trout right now, and he's on the best team in baseball.
And he's going to win a Gold Glove.
And right. And he adds an element that J.D. Martinez doesn't. So I think if you put that together, even though the power numbers aren't as the same as Martinez, Betts probably. And he's a guy, 2 years ago, he finished second. Last year, even in a year that he would admit wasn't great, he finished sixth. There is also something about voters' kind of consistency there, whereas J.D. Martinez has not really been there as much. And they love the advanced stats, and they don't really favor J.D. Martinez as much as you think that they would based off of his raw numbers.
I think Mookie Betts is going to win the MVP. Now, I've been saying, is he the MVP on his own team? And I've gone back and forth. That's where my adjusted opinion comes.
Can they have a co-MVP?
Manager of the Toronto Blue Jays said last night, I think they should have co-MVPs, and it should be those guys.
Really? How about that? I don't think there's been co-MVPs.
I don't want to do that. I hate co-MVPs.
Well, you basically,
once in a while during the, here's a spoiler alert how we operate during the Bruins post-game show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we name our
three stars.
Our player of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Player of the game.
Yeah.
And once in a while, they'll talk me into cheating. They'll say, oh, well, let's name the first line. And I hate
No.
It's player of the game.
And if you really think
about it,
Major League Baseball does co-MVPs every single year because they pick one of the American League and one of the National League. They don't do that in the NBA.
Can't have three.
There's not an Eastern Conference MVP and a Western Conference MVP in the NHL or the NBA. Or imagine if they started doing that in the NFL. Like, who's your NFC MVP? Like, what? What are we doing? So they already have two. They can't split that down anymore.
Well, I've gone back and forth. I think Mookie is the MVP on his team. I think he should be the MVP in the American League.
Yeah, he's the best defensive right fielder. He's going to win the batting title. He's on the best team in the league. And his power numbers
are really good.
I was going to say, aren't that far off.
No, they're good.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either guy. And who knows? If Betts... So right now, I know you love the war stat. Mike Trout is 7.8. Betts is 7.5.
Yep.
So if he passes him, it's going to be a no-brainer because he combines everything. If you're one of these guys that says, hey, best player on the best team, or if you're a guy that just doesn't even watch the games, you're a nerd and you just look at the war stat, you're going to pick him as well. And then if you factor in complete all-around player, you would put him there. So, Yeah, that's probably the smart money right
what
now.
What could end up hurting him is the J.D. Martinez votes.
Yeah, true.
Because they may split a lot of the people. Well, I don't know. I could pick Mookie. I could pick J.D. And they end up splitting a lot of the Red Sox votes, quote unquote. And Mike Trout slips in and wins the whole thing. But for me, it's Mookie Betts who should be the MVP of the American
League. No, it's understandable. I would vote for J.D. Martinez. I think his numbers, especially if he keeps this pace up, the pace that he is on, you know, they're going to be pretty silly. You know, the number of home runs is going to be in the high 40s. He's going to have 130-plus RBI. He's still hitting about 320, 330. It's just, it's off the chart. I mean, they both are. They're both having unbelievable seasons.
So we've got that to talk about as the afternoon goes along. I mean, we could talk about the football game if you want to. I just want one guy.
Are you in on Ralph Webb or are you out on Ralph Webb?
He's
the talk of the town. He's the talk du jour.
And we always have a guy after the first week of the preseason
who
we are convinced.
Austin Carr.
Oh, God. Remember that
Zach
one?
Zach Sudfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? There's been a few other guys that have
there
really
There is
popped.
Always one of those.
Yeah.
You know, just taking it day by day, you know, just trying to go out there and compete and get better every day, just like everyone else is doing.
He's got the whole
is that Ralph?
Lingo down.
That was Ralph?
He's got it down.
He sounds good. He sounds like a Patriot.
He sounds like a Patriot when he talks like that. Look, I'm not trying to take any away from him. He looked good.
You think he's better than Jonas Gray?
No.
Yeah, maybe not.
I mean,
no, actually, here's a more valuable.
Based on a preseason tilt against the Redskins?
Yeah, he scored two touchdowns, right?
And two extra points.
Win, you know? That's right.
Excited to get this win on my team, doing everything I can to help us win, just playing to the best of my ability.
I agree with Ralph. It's all about the win. It's all about the victory there in preseason football. Poor guy. He doesn't know what to say.
Fight fiercely, fellows!
The cliches already work here.
God.
You got
I mean, I guess it's easier to face Belichick in the meeting room the next day if you win than if you lose.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to be a happy guy in that meeting room anyway.
Ralph's like, hey, scoreboard, guys. Scoreboard.
And for you to catch the ball, did you know that you were going to get targeted on that play?
Coach just called the play, and I just executed my assignment. That's all I can do.
He's just executing assignments, Dale. Ralph Webb, I think, is going to really take the league by storm this year.
James White, don't get comfortable.
No, see you later, James White. No, here's a serious question. Do you think Ralph Webb is better than Mike Gillisley? Because he might be.
I don't know. I've seen Gillisley.
Gillisley was awful last year.
I've seen Gillisley play when it matters.
No, and a couple of years ago, he was pretty good with the Bills. His average yards per carry were through the roof.
See, I have to admit,
but last year he was not good.
It's hard for me to give up on him because that was the one guy I got right in the offseason.
Yeah, you didn't want him. That's right.
When I said this is the perfect Belichick signing, and then he went out and got him, so I looked like a genius.
Right.
If they go and cut him now, I look like a dope again.
No, that's true. Well,
more than
getting used
more
to it.
You got to make plays when opportunities present themselves. You know, just go out there and do whatever you can to make it happen.
Did Ralph have a whole press conference? What on
Did they
earth?
Bring him to the podium?
What happened? Was that at the podium?
No,
that was in his locker.
That was
in the locker for 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
2 minutes and 30 seconds of Ralph Webb audio? Can we play it all uninterrupted right now? No, I'm kidding.
No,
we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Thank you, Ralph.
We'll put it on the internet.
I think he's got a chance. Well, if Sony Michel's injury really kind of lingers, that opens up another spot.
Sure.
So people getting all worked up about Ralph Webb, you might be on something.
I'll go out on a limb here and say that in the long run, Sony Michel's going to mean more to this team than Ralph Webb will.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
I'm going to go way out.
The first round pick over this undrafted guy?
I'm just going to say.
Just happy to get a win, you know, it just feels good. You know, like I said, I'm blessed to be here.
I love him.
He's your guy.
Jeremy Hill was pretty good, actually, too,
last
night. I wasn't sure what to expect from Jeremy Hill, but, I mean, they ran the ball
like 15 pounds, they said. He's quicker. He's
svelte.
Yeah.
Looks svelte.
Until somebody hits him right in the gut, and he goes down like he's folded up.
And Cordarrelle Patterson had a couple of moments.
Nice catch.
Yeah, he looked like a receiver, not just a guy who's a
return
man.
But hold it. Hey. Call it in.
Making plays out there. So, you know, I watched the whole thing. We might as well talk about it.
Did you?
What else?
You didn't watch every minute.
Well, no. I mean, I was slipping to the Red Sox, but I was start to finish. I was, you know, going back and forth. Yeah.
617-779-7937. Sean's in Connecticut. Hey, Sean.
Hey guys, I've called each of the last 3 years about Gostkowski missing key extra points,
and you want him out of here, right?
Yeah. What'd you think of him last night?
I want him out of here.
Look good.
I was one who you prompted the question. You even asked Belichick about it last year. And did you notice a subtle change on the one extra point they kicked last night?
You're talking about where they placed it.
So for the first time since they moved the extra point back 4 years ago, he kicked an extra point from the middle of the field instead of a hash mark, and he nailed it. And if he does that, you know, the rest of the year, he probably won't miss one. But you know, purpose of my calls the last 3 years was he always did it from a hash mark, and he wasn't consistent. He would, you know, miss it or off one of the other uprights at key moments. So I'm just pointing that out because...
Well, I'll tell you this. Steven listens to the show.
Yes.
He's told me he listens to the show, so he may have taken your advice, Sean.
Well, Sean,
and said,
I agree
hey, you know
you.
What? Let's move it between
I
the
agree.
Hash marks.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, hey, it's the three he's missed in the last 3 years have been pretty costly. So.
They've come back to bite him, I know. And I'm with you. Every time you see a kicker lining up on the hash, I just think they're outthinking themselves.
Yeah, but it was the doing? Short one. What difference would
no,
it make?
No, they just line it right up, and they knocked it through. And then they move it back a little bit, and everyone's like, oh, my God, like I like this angle. Like, oh, the ball tails. Like, no. It's still 33 yards. Kick it straight down the middle. And so maybe that's what he'll do this year. We'll see.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. And, Coach, preseason football is not about winning or losing. But what did you hope to get out of the first half?
We need to do pretty much everything better, just not good enough in any area.
It's good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway.
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
All right. You had a lot to get going on.
All right.
Good luck in the second half, Coach.
Thank you.
Midseason form for the coach.
Perfect. Just perfect. That's what that game needed because you're like, oh, what a brutal first half. Give me something. And then you get that and you go, it's all worth it now.
So I almost hate to bring up, this is a really bad word here. We try not to
careful,
say this.
Careful, Rossi. Get ready for this.
Well, we try not to say this word here because it leads to things.
Oh,
it
boy.
Gets people in trouble.
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
The D word.
Oh, I was going a different direction.
Oh, the D word. Deflategate.
Oh, Dale.
Did you see the Steelers get caught?
I did.
So evidently, Howard Eskin, by the way, he is a sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a Philadelphia radio personality.
Mm-hmm.
During the preseason, he's a sideline reporter for the Eagles. He said that the Eagles found at least one Steelers football that he said was, quote-unquote, very deflated during their preseason opener on Thursday. The NFL investigated the football, and they said, oh, not their fault. Football was defective. That's what the NFL said.
Defective, they had a bum football there?
A defective football. Took them about 12 hours, start to finish.
They did a 12-hour
investigation. They did a 12-hour investigation, said, you know what? We're sorry, Pittsburgh. You got a bad football here.
Can you imagine looking at a football for 12 hours? What
I
do you do?
No, I didn't go, say they looked at it for 12 hours.
I would look at it quickly and be like,
It took them 12 hours to clear the Steelers of any wrongdoing.
That's stupid.
Eskin said this football looked like a marshmallow.
Like, is this, everything all right with this one? This one fine? He's like, yeah, they took all the air out of it.
So,
although, are you messing around with footballs during preseason? That'd be my first
one,
thought.
One would think not.
I would hope not. You know, unless there's a third-string quarterback that thinks, the only way I'm making this team is if I'm out there throwing super deflated footballs.
The whole thing here is, and Patriots fans, of course, their heads will explode because it took the NFL 12 hours to say the Steelers. No!
Did Mortensen tweet about it?
I haven't seen
it.
That's
also a big part of the problem.
Had he Mort's Twitter feed.
Yes, had he tweeted something about it, we could have been really in for
quite
a story.
And by the way, I'm with you. I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers did anything to the football.
No.
I think it would be stupid beyond belief to do it at all. But in a preseason game?
Like, we're going to cut down on fumbles. We're going to take all the air out. And this way, you can't strip it. You can't lose the ball. But, yeah, that's just – I mean, that's what the first thing should have been. They should have just looked at it for 12 hours or less. And
somewhere
like,
right now, right. Jerry Thornton is sitting in a corner.
Shaking.
Saying things about Roger Goodell.
He's having a time.
As we speak. I thought it was amusing, quite honestly, when Eskin reported that that the Eagles found at least one football that was underinflated, apparently by a lot.
It is one of the words, though, that if you never heard again.
That D word?
It'd be too soon.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Just never, ever again.
Well, it happened again, Thursday night, preseason games, Eagles and Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing to see here. The NFL said there's
all set.
No fault.
What a relief. I don't want to have to read another Wells report on the Steelers preseason.
You didn't
footballs.
Read the first one.
Yes, I did. I had to.
I don't know.
That's why I hated it so much. Because I read every word in that stupid thing. It's the longest book I've read in years. That was awful.
How did you get through Hobart?
I did fine.
No, I mean, how did you physically get the work done when you don't read books and stuff?
Not that difficult of a school, as it turns out.
Well, don't say that. My kids still try to get
a degree.
Oh,
it's a great education to have, Dale.
Thank you
can get a job
much.
Like this.
Yeah.
You're going to be very successful in life.
I'm hoping she does better than that. 617-779-7937. Brendan's on the cell phone. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Brendan, it's great.
Hey, good. I just want to talk. I thought the first half offensive effort was really good, and defensive effort stunk.
Whoa.
You thought the offense was good
in the first half?
Let me finish.
My bad.
And I can't wait for you guys to be from 10 to 2 because this is the worst show in the history of sports.
Oh, there it is.
There we go, Brendan.
Hold on. Way to land that plane. Nice job, Brendan.
Took you a while to
get there. Perfect. Let me start with a terrible point, and then I'll rip you guys.
And then I'll top it with an even more terrible point.
See, it would make more sense, Brendan, if you said something that made a lot of sense at the beginning. Then people might believe you.
Well,
with
then
the
we might
part.
Actually put some stock like, in his
oh,
opinion.
No. So when they scored 3 points there in the first half, he was all in on their offense, I guess. But he got a nice zinger in there, though, Dale.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad.
If you cut me, do I not bleed?
That's right. We are people, too, sir.
Hate to break the news to Brendan that the check's still clear.
It does. Yep, we're still on the air.
Sorry, Brendan.
Yep, 10 a.m. sharp.
We'll be there Monday with a whole bunch of people. I mean, as the season goes along.
It's really a who's who who's going to be joining us during the fall.
Yeah, we'll have players every Monday, and there's this whole list. Trey Flowers, who didn't play last night, by the way.
No, he did not.
Julian Edelman, who did play, but won't play the first four games of the regular season.
Hightower was out
Dante
there.
Dante Hightower.
Got him. Who else? Hogan, who's not good
Chris
in the
Hogan.
Game.
He's not good.
You can tell him that, Bill.
Yeah.
No, it's not breaking news. If you watched the game last night, you knew that Chris Hogan was not very good in the game. Those guys will rotate in on Monday, and then either Devin McCourty or Daron Harmon on Fridays during the season. So that'll be good.
Willie McGinest on Tuesdays.
Tuesday, yes.
Peter King on Thursdays.
I'm looking forward to. And
Michael Irvin on Fridays.
We got a lot going on. Now, they didn't say when William McGinnis' football life is going to air. They just said
they gave the list of people who were going to be featured this year.
I'm looking forward to that one.
And the McGinnis football life. I know I've heard other guys talk about it. Teddy Bruschi, I've heard talk about it on SportsCenter. You know, Ninkovich last night talked about what it was like to play for Robert Kraft. You know that there's going to be something in the McGinnis football life about playing for the Patriots, for Kraft, for Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's still like, you know, another Kraft son, it seems like, when he's down there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's another guy, another example of the countless former Patriots who didn't say much at all while they were players, and then they went into the media, and they've done a really good job. You know, there's a ton of those guys. But you think about, McGinnis, who he predates Belichick, obviously. You know, he was in the 94 draft, so he was on, you know, those teams, then the early days of Belichick and the early success in those three Super Bowls. Then he had those years in Cleveland. But I don't think that they're gonna be covered as much in the football life. But no, he is definitely one of the guys that stands out to you when you talk about the early successful days of the Patriots. William McGinnis right at the top of the list.
By the way, some news out of last night's game. I think it was Mike Lombardi who tweeted it out during the course of all the preseason. There were 12 games last night.
Yeah.
And at one point he said, most important thing for coaches watching preseason games, that everybody gets up after the play. That's the only
thing
they care about.
Just don't get hurt.
Everybody get up.
That's it.
Well, Darius Geis, unfortunately.
Awful.
Now, they showed him in the locker room after the game. He was kind of smiling, laughing, standing there talking. Didn't think that there was anything, you know, major wrong. Well, it is. Tore his ACL last night. Dunn will miss his rookie season.
Second round pick, you know, one of the top running backs taken, and you thought maybe, hey, you'd have a, you know, could have a big season, and then first preseason game. You hear about it every single year, and that's the thing. It's just, that's why I think preseason should only be 2 games. You don't need, and if you want to have 90 guys for both games, whatever, I don't care. I don't care what the roster size is. I know there's cuts, you know, every couple of weeks here, but the 4 preseason games, it's just that many more opportunities for something like this, a meaningless game, and now his rookie year is done. Like that's awful.
Every time I see this happen in a meaningless preseason game, I am more convinced than ever that I never want Tom Brady to set foot on the field until the season opener.
I know. Brady and Gronk, both of them.
Do not touch the field.
Yep.
And I know he'd hate it, and I know he'd fight it, and I know Gronk wants to play. I understand all that. You got nothing to gain.
Not only that, but the Patriots are in one of those weird kind of situations where their division is so bad, especially this year. I mean, most years it is. This year, I feel like it's even worse. And Belichick, the opponents.
Yeah.
But the idea of weeks 1 through 4 of the regular season could basically be their preseason. We've seen, you know, they could go 2-2. They go 1-3.
Year.
It's fine. So if Brady doesn't play until the first weekend in September, you might say, well, he's not going to be ready for the season. What's the big deal? If he has a bad game, who cares? At least he's doing it in a game that still, you know, does count for the standings. So if he gets a win, great. If not, I'm sure he'll be tuned up, ready to go by the time October rolls around. And 10-6 would still win the division. Now, you might not get the bye. With that record, you probably wouldn't. But there's no, I mean, you might even do a lot better than that. These guys, I don't think, need the preseason. Most of them don't.
And now Brady will claim that he does. You can duplicate it as closely as you can in practice. Much more controlled environment. The red jersey on, so nobody's going to be hitting him. You don't need, Tom Brady does not need preseason to get himself ready.
No. Randy Moss didn't play in the preseason and then went out and set a single season record.
25 touchdowns.
23 touchdowns. Breaks a record. LaDainian Tomlinson, I think, got to a point where he never played in the preseason. And I know some of you would take shots at him in the playoffs, and that's fine. That's warranted. But he had a Hall of Fame career, and he would never play in the preseason. So most guys don't need it. I think it should be more for, you know, some of those roster battles. You know, Braxton Berrios and Riley McCarron can duke
it
out.
Have at it.
Go for it. Let's see who's better.
Hopefully nobody will get hurt. But
no, that's the thing. My man Ralph Webb can go out there and just continue to dominate, and that's nice. But the star players, I don't see any use for it. I know a lot of coaches would push back on that, especially because it's something that they're just so used to. It's been a part of football for such a long time. But, man, you know, when you're watching it again last night, it's just even more clear. Like, this isn't really necessary.
And I know it's kind of tough luck for people who are being forced to pay regular season prices for preseason football, for exhibition football, which is what it is. And it stinks for those people. I'm convinced most of the season ticket holders just give them away anyway.
Well, they probably do, but they're paying for it, you know.
But I'm saying,
a friend gets to go.
I think most
still,
of the
money
people
out of your
sitting
pocket.
In there yeah. are not ones who paid for the tickets. Generally speaking,
well, maybe not, or you know, they sell them to them at, you know, this time I'll just give it to you at face value. I'm not going to mark it up when I sell it to you.
But even given that, even if you're thinking, if you're sitting there last night and you're going, God, I don't get to see Brady, I don't get to see Flowers, I don't get to see, you know, this guy McCourty. You know what? Tough.
But isn't this just proves, and this isn't a news bulletin, but the league says they care about player safety, and that's what, you know, the helmet rule and things like that, which really didn't come up last night, but they say they care about player safety, and yet really it's just all about money. And like, why is there 4 preseason games? Oh, so each home team or each team can have 2 home games, and to sell that out, to put that as part of the package. Because if they were really all that concerned about it, how do you not whittle this down to 2? Every team plays 2 preseason games. You take the chances, you cut the chances in half of an extra concussion, a blown out ACL, a hip injury, all these ones. You would do that no problem, and I don't think the game would suffer because most of the star players barely play, if they play at all anyway.
The last year I did Patriots games on radio, the last year, and the last preseason game that year. In that game, they lost Andre Tippett, Ronnie Lopez, and Garen Veras for the year. They were done.
I mean,
at the end of that preseason game,
right,
their season was over before you ever snapped a ball in real life.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to, you know, make things dire here from a Patriots fan's perspective. You want to take a chance? You want to take a chance that Tom Brady, you know, gets hit, or Rob Gronkowski gets an ankle turned, or no, thank you.
Well, that was so last night. Obviously, you want to keep a little bit of tabs on Jimmy Garoppolo playing for the 49ers, right? But the other part of that
game. You were
going
to give me a statistical update.
I'll give you the breakdown of Garoppolo every week.
This is not a Pro Bowler. This is an all pro quarterback, I think you've said.
No, I don't think I've said that, but we've heard that, and yeah. I know just you really push back against that, so I feel like bringing that up. We can get to Garoppolo, but my point is in that game, the Niners lost 6 guys in the first half to injury. Now, varying degrees. I don't know if they've announced, you know, what they're all doing, but guys that were forced out of the game, including a couple of starters, 6 in the first half of a game that means absolutely nothing. And oh, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo played a series. He was 3 of 6 for 34 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. And that was it.
Remember the guy yesterday who said he's better than Tom Brady?
I do remember that guy. I do remember that.
And
How could I forget that?
We were laughing so hard that it was hard to continue the conversation.
That call, he was probably on for a couple of minutes. It could have lasted an hour because he had a lot to say. He was really, really adamant that Tom Brady was not that good. He's a system guy. We're going right back to that one. It was the system. Like, okay, here we go.
But, if I were a paying Patriots fan,
yeah.
And there's only two of these games here you have to worry about.
Yeah,
you've already played one.
Next week is the other one. They go home, then away.
I don't want to see anybody who matters. I'm sorry. No. It's not worth it to me so that I get to see Tom Brady play two series with the first-string offense.
But don't they all matter?
No, the none of these things.
Ralph Webb doesn't matter?
No.
No, not the game, but the players. Like, the problem is...
I'm going to go... All right, I'll say it. Tom Brady means more to me than Ralph Webb
does. Oh, I know that he does. Okay, fine. But the point is... You still have to field a team, and so by the end of it, now Tom Brady and Gronk are definitely in another category, but it was still, what, 4/5 or 3/5 of their starting offensive line. It was still a couple of their running backs. It was Edelman. It was Hightower and Gilmore. I mean, they still were playing a lot of guys. And then as the preseason goes on, you have even less guys to work with. Now you have 90. Like, just throw them out there. Let's go. But by the end of it, you're making a couple of cuts. You don't even have as many guys. So even if you want to protect a lot of players, it's guys that are at least going to make the team and play in games that matter that are forced to go out there and play.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.